Ah, beloved, I'm Pastor Trey, and you're now listening to the New Living Translation. This is Bonafide Bible Talk, because God speaks my language too, and I'm sure enough about to act like it. Let's go. Yo, we in the season of Lent right now. I'm not really part of a high church tradition, so I don't follow a lectionary. My adherence to a liturgical calendar is not as firm as some people from more formal higher church traditions might like it to be. So I'm gonna go a little bit out of order in how we're doing this. But since this is my podcast and I can do what I want, we just gonna have to deal with that now, ain't we? I'm bringing that up because I've been trying to deal with a general theme this season. Hope and revelation. Where do we find hope in the revelations of God that we find throughout scripture? Not just the book of Revelation, but the many revelations, the many unveilings, the many awakenings that people have to the presence of God in their midst. And as I was thinking through this, one story popped into my mind and I was like, oh snap, I should probably say this for a little bit closer to Easter, a little bit closer to Resurrection Sunday. And then I thought, why? I'm ready to talk about it now. Half these people ain't gonna listen to this for another couple weeks anyway. It might be Easter by the time they get to it. And so after I had this wonderful conversation with myself, which went well, by the way, I'm a great conversationalist and I enjoy talking to myself, I decided that we was gonna hit record on this right now. And not only that we would hit record on this right now, but I was gonna schedule it to drop when I felt like it, which is right now. Well, not right now, depending on when you're listening to it, but right now when it actually hit the RSS feed that populated your podcast app. I'm not sure when you're listening to this, but hi, whenever that is. My point here is that we're about to talk about a story that more closely correlates to the resurrection season, the Easter season, right after the resurrection, in fact. But I find a lot of hope in this revelation of God, this revelation of Jesus in this story, because I can relate to it in very real ways. It's a story of Jesus revealing himself to a couple of people who seem to be without hope in that moment. And the way it happens is sort of comical almost. You see, the gospel accounts that we have in our Bibles have this interesting tendency to portray the encounters with the risen Jesus as such that a lot of people don't realize that they're dealing with Jesus until a few things happen, until part of a conversation has already happened, until they recognize a pattern of some sort. And I want to talk about one of those episodes that occurs in Luke's account of the gospel. And so without any further ado, on this episode of the New Living Translation, we're going to have us some bona fide Bible talk about Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 36. Let's get into it. So boom, same day, two folks headed to a hood called Emmaus, about 7 miles out from Jerusalem. They was talking to each other about everything just happened. While they was trying to put it all together, Jesus came up to them and started walking with them. But their eyes couldn't see him. He said to them, "Y'all talking about?" They just stood there looking long-faced. One of them was named Cleopas. He answered and said,
"You really the only one around Jerusalem who ain't heard what's been going down around here?"
Jesus said to him,
"What's been going down?"
And they said,
"The stuff with Jesus from Nazareth. Dude was a prophet, did mad signs and was talking real good by God and by everybody. But then the head honchos of the temple and our leaders turned him in for a death sentence, and they crucified him. We was hoping he was going to be the one to save Israel, but it's been 3 days since all this went down. These ladies that was rolling with us kind of got us tripping. They got to his grave early, and they ain't see his body in there. They came out talking about they seen angels who said he was alive, and some more of the folks who was rolling with us went out to the grave, and sure enough, like the lady said, they ain't find him in there."
Jesus said to him,
"Y'all fools don't even believe the prophets for real. Ain't the Messiah have to suffer to get his glory?"
And he started in Moses and all the prophets and spelled it out in all the scriptures, the stuff that pointed to him. They got close to the hood they was headed to, and Jesus looked like he was about to keep on walking. And they told him slow down, saying,
"Come chill with us for the night. It's getting dark out and the day is almost over."
So he stayed with him. And while he was kicking it with him, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, started giving it to him. Then their eyes could see him, and they recognized him, and he was gone. They said to each other,
"Won't your heart on fire when he was rapping with us while we was walking, while he was making all them scriptures plain?"
That same hour, they headed back to Jerusalem and found the 11 huddled together with some other folks, talking about how the boss had rose for real and Simon had seen him. Then they started telling them what happened on the road and how they ain't recognize him till he broke the bread. And while they was telling them all this, Jesus came and stood in the middle of them and said,
"Peace, y'all."
What I love about this particular story in scripture is that it is so relatable. Who among us hasn't found themselves disappointed? Who hasn't had the experience where they are hopeful about something that does not come to fruition, that doesn't only not come to fruition, but is actually actively dismantled in front of you? Everything that you hoped could happen, the best case scenario, even if you had accepted that something less than the best case scenario could happen, you didn't really account for the absolute worst case scenario, the exact opposite of that happening occurring. That's where these two people, Cleopas and the unnamed companion on this road to Emmaus, found themselves. Two folks who live 7 miles outside the city of Jerusalem, waiting for and hoping for a deliverer of Israel. Two people hoping that somebody might come and toss the Roman Empire up out the paint, get them out of Jerusalem, get them away from God's people, the children of Israel, the people of Judea at the time. Two people hoping that Jesus, who just a few days earlier had ridden into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, might be that deliverer, that savior, that Messiah. Two people hoping that their plight was about to change because of what Jesus was able to do. They had found hope in all of the signs, the miracles, the wonders that Jesus was able to perform for so many people. They had found hope in the message that Jesus was proclaiming, that God would bless the meek and the poor in spirit, that it was probably going to be hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of heaven. All of these things they found hope in, that the first would be last and that the last would be first. They found hope in the person of Jesus. And I imagine that that hope was dashed entirely as they saw this man that they had placed so much hope in, stripped of his clothing, brutalized, tortured, executed, and then buried. And to make matters worse, there's a whole lot of controversy about what they imagined would have been the final chapter. As they're trying to mourn this dashed hope, they go to the grave, to the tomb of this buried Jesus of Nazareth, and the body ain't there. Imagine, if you will, not even a loved one per se, but a really well-known figure, somebody whose star appears to be rising, that you were really excited about, dying relatively suddenly, unexpectedly, and even unjustly, perhaps. And you go to their memorial only to find it not as you expected. Perhaps it is desecrated, or perhaps it appears that somebody has stolen the body. But that is not all. You have heard through the grapevine that an angel, a divine messenger, has said that the body has not been stolen, but in fact, Jesus is alive. Yes, the same person that you saw tortured to death and executed naked on a cross at the hands of Pontius Pilate of the Roman Empire. That same dude is somehow alive. But that don't make no sense, because you saw him dead. You saw the body taken down from the cross. You saw the body put in the tomb. And if you didn't see it directly, you know enough people who know somebody who did see it. We can count on these things being true. There's no way that somebody would stage all of this for some theatrical performance. How can they be alive? And as they are wrestling with this scandal, this gossip, this ridiculous story, in the light of all of their hopes being dashed in the most outrageous fashion imaginable, some stranger comes up and walks alongside of them. What y'all talking about? And these two people, Cleopas and this unnamed companion, respond indignantly. What you mean what we talking about? You ain't heard? You gotta be the only person around Jerusalem who don't know what we talking about. And this stranger says to him, no, go ahead, let me in. What are we talking about? And they say, man, you ain't heard about Jesus, the dude who was doing all the stuff, and then, you know, he got killed, and he was buried, but now they saying that the grave is empty, and somebody saying that he alive still, and the stranger says to him, oh, really, like, y'all kind of slow about this, y'all don't really know what's happening, because if you really believed in this Messiah, if you really believed in this Savior of Israel, this Deliverer of Israel, then you would know that the throne of the Messiah is only entered into through the prospect of suffering. Now, I got to pause here and say that the idea of redemptive suffering is kind of problematic. I think that there are some people who are prone to using this, talking about this in a way that weaponizes the concept against people whose very reality is bound up in suffering. But what we have here is not a powerful person telling people who are already suffering that their suffering is God's will for them. What we have is an infinite, incorruptible God who enters into the suffering of humanity, even taking on suffering that is caused by humanity in order to redeem humanity. This is the story of one who is powerful enough to exist outside of suffering, choosing to enter a world where he could experience suffering in order to lead a suffering people out of their plight. This is the story of the Exodus retold, and that is precisely what this stranger on the road begins to tell them as he starts in the story of Moses, in the words of Moses, walks them through the prophets who continually call the people of Israel back to a world of justice, of tending to and ending and alleviating the suffering of those around and among them. This is the story that Jesus paints for them from the very scriptures that they were calling to. And as they hear this explanation, these two people who are reeling from the hopelessness of the torture, the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth, they say that their hearts are on fire. They feel their hearts burning in their chest. There is an excitement among them that they struggle to articulate in the moment. They still don't get it, though. The sun is going down, and they don't want this stranger traveling these roads at night. And so they do the hospitable thing, because they was raised right, because they believe in Jesus of Nazareth, who was a pretty hospitable dude, who did things like feed strangers in multitudes. And so they say, why don't you kick it with us for the night, so you don't got to be on this road at night? And as they're doing that, this stranger takes the bread that they were about to eat together. It says that he blesses the bread. I'm not sure what blessing he might have said. Maybe he said, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, by his hands we all are for, you know how it goes. Maybe that was what he said. But after he blesses the bread, he breaks it and he gives it to him. And there's something about this blessing of the bread and the breaking of the bread and the giving of the bread that reminds them of a dude they once saw blessing bread and breaking bread and giving bread to all of the people who needed bread. It reminds them of a guy who once taught them to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It reminds them of a guy who spent a lot of time making sure that people got the bread that they needed, and their eyes were open and they recognized that this stranger who joined them on the road was the very one they had placed their hope in to begin with. And so as Jesus steps out of the grave, their hope is resurrected with Jesus In the middle of their journey of hopelessness, hope finds and arrests them. In the middle of them wrestling with their hopelessness, hope sets their hearts on fire. In the middle of wrestling with their hopelessness, hope feeds them the bread that they need. And their journey is transformed so that they have to go back to Jerusalem and share with the other people what they have learned about this hope in Jesus. And while they're prepared to share this hope, they're seeing that this same hope already appeared to Simon Peter. And as they're sharing these stories and getting excited about this hope, the hope shows up in the room with them and says, "Peace be unto you." Our Muslim brothers and sisters might say something like, "Assalamu alaikum." They would say this because peace unto you in the middle of hopelessness is one of the greatest gifts that we can have. And that's what they find in Jesus. Let me pray with you. Almighty God, we thank you that even when we lose hope, that your hope pursues us. Give us eyes to see the things that we can be hopeful for and the people that we can be hopeful in. In Jesus' name, amen. Appreciate you joining us for another episode of the New Living Translation. Don't forget to show us some love by leaving us a rating and a review. If you got a Bible question you want to see us wrestle with on the show, go ahead and leave us a voicemail at 305-290-1190. Once again, that's 305-290-1190. To see what else I got going on, to find out where you can follow me, or find out how you can reach out to me so we can rap a little bit, visit PastorTrey05.com. There you can listen to the Three Black Men podcast, subscribe to my newsletter, The Sun Do Move, or find out where you can buy my book, Theologizing Bigger, Homilies on Living Freely and Loving Holy. All of that, so much more available at PastorTrey05.com. There should be a link to it in the show notes for you. The New Living Translation is a production of Three Black Men, Theology, Culture, and the World Around Us. A lot of this work is made possible by the generous contributions of people in our Patreon community. If you'd like to support us, you can do so at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Also linked in the show notes. Until we meet again, beloved, remember, real recognize real. Don't get caught looking unfamiliar.